So we've been on the topic of who we are in Christ. And, you know, there's a difference between Christians who are word-based and Christians who are emotion-based, you know. The human life in itself has a lot of feeling. We identify with what we feel. So that's why when you get born again, the teaching of the Word of God is so important, because it introduces you to a whole new world of knowledge, which is based on not just what you feel, but then what God says. And from the first time I started sharing on this, I started talking about what controls our confidence. Some people's confidence is controlled by what they have in their account, how they look. There are some ladies who will feel so bad and feel very terrible if maybe one single pimple appeared on their face. It will mar their whole confidence. Some other people are at the mercy of the words of other people. If people said to them that you're good for nothing from that day, that's what they're going to think of themselves, that they are truly good for nothing. But question is, who are you in Christ Jesus? What does God say you are? So you say this after me. I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. Well, let's say it again. Say, I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. So, when you look at yourself, you measure yourself by what God has said about you, because God has said something about you. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, we're learning confidence now. It said, therefore, we are always confident. Can you imagine? The apostle says, therefore, we are always confident. You know, there are some people that they are sometimes confident. There are times you wake up and you just feel good. I feel good. Confident that day. There are times you get into an argument with someone and you win the argument. And that day you think you're so intelligent. Like, really? Wow. So some people are sometimes confident. But the apostle is saying this. He said, therefore, we are always confident. Why are we always confident? He said, knowing. So our confidence comes from a knowledge. He said, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Then verse 7 is the point I wanted to make. For we walk by faith and not by sight. What's the meaning of this? For we walk by faith and not by sight. Because if we are to consider everything that is within our sight, we probably will not be confident. But then if we start considering what God has said about us, knowing what God has said, we become confident. I was listening to a young lady at a conference I went to. You know, she came forward and she gave 7 points. And all the while, you know, while she was talking, I was like, wow. You know, because there you could see a lady who has not been raised by the world. And her last point was, what even, I'm like, yeah. Her last point was, let your confidence come from your God inside mindedness. I mean, if God lived in you, won't you be confident? You will. You see, so sometimes when you express a lack of confidence, it's because it has not come home. The knowledge has not come home. The knowledge has not come home. Some of the places that, you know, if you go maybe for you know, you can be so humiliated. It's maybe a job interview or a visa interview. You go there, they are looking at you, they're asking you all sort of questions. You can cower. Why do you need the job? Then always on the panel, they have one stubborn person. Everyone is trying to be nice. Oh, so you need a stubborn person to say, stop laughing. We are not laughing with you here. You see, let me tell you something. It's better for you to be confident and lose the job than for you to beg. We don't beg. Yes, we are God's kids. We don't beg. Yes, you know, so you, God is inside you. Look at you. You beg. You are begging a boyfriend. Look at you. A dear lady told me, Pastor, I'm going to beg him on. I said, don't carry your grace into such foolishness. Because you don't know who you are. You don't beg. We don't beg. Did you hear me? We don't beg the devil. We don't beg men. Even God does not want us to beg him. We don't beg. God is inside. We don't beg. So if we got to the place and said, you look too confident. Yes. Because I know what I'm bringing to this company. But you got to, please. I've been unemployed for 4 years. Please, just. Tell someone, I don't beg. Tell yourself, say, Pastor Enoch, you don't beg. Now, you don't beg doesn't mean you don't apologize, all right? Because some people say, Pastor said we don't beg. We don't beg, so you misbehave. You say, I know who I am. No, at that point. No, you need to apologize at that point. If you do something wrong. But that, you want something and you have to beg, you don't beg. I don't beg. You know, so some, you must have some shame. Like the scripture said in the book of Luke, he said, to beg, I am ashamed. Sometimes you must have some dignity, sense of dignity, which is not coming from the world, which is coming from God's word. The Bible says we should boast in the Lord. That's the kind of boasting God approves of. You know? And listen to me. Bless both males and females. Sometimes some ladies can become confident. Now, you have to check where your confidence is coming from. Sometimes some ladies can become confident because that day alone, about 10 guys have been on them. Like, oh my God. Gosh. So they check their DMs and it's full. I'm like, oh no, duh. So from that time, they have this confidence that throw away all those rubbish confidence. Yes, that's not where it should be coming from. You know why? What will happen when you do that? When they are confident from the validation of men, the day and time that men don't text them again, all right? Because this thing is in seasons, you know? The day men don't text them again, nobody's, cars are passing and not stopping. They now start thinking, is something wrong with me? Maybe I've gained weight. Maybe, you see, are you seeing? But whether I've gained weight, I've lost weight, whatever, my confidence is not coming from all those trivial things. There's something is inside. The Holy Ghost lives inside. See? And likewise, some guys, anytime they go on Instagram, their sense of confidence is beaten. Why? Because they went to see another guy who... okay, Instagram is not even a problem. LinkedIn. They went on LinkedIn and a 21-year-old guy has finished both Harvard, Cambridge and Yale in the same year. And at that age, at age 21, he's the CEO of 4 companies and has 57 staff. Now, this guy looks at himself and he's 28. He has 2 more papers to write to finish University of Ghana. His confidence is destroyed. I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. The scripture says they comparing themselves with themselves are not wise. Run your race. The easiest way to get disqualified in a race is for you to join someone else's lane. Run your race. Bible says that we should run our race. Don't run someone's race. One of the biggest things that causes confusion among people, you know, is people are confused because they are trying to get on someone's track, get in someone's lane. Someone is going to marry at 23. Someone's going to marry at 32. Pastor, my time is going. Pastor, you know there is a biological clock. Who put the clock there? We come from a nation where 90-year-olds can give birth. Are you listening to me? Pastor, let's be realistic. Pastor, you know, let's be realistic. You see, as hyped as marriage is, in heaven, we will not be judged as couple. In heaven, they will not say, Mr. and Mrs., hey, come forward. We are blessed individually. Yes. We are called individually. We are rewarded individually. And we are appraised individually. So don't make it look as though your whole life is dependent on a ring. You know, there are some people, no matter if you preach, you say, Pastor, I want someone to kneel down. I want someone to kneel down. Someone's son. Okay, then you ask them a question. And this has happened many times, all right? You ask them, why do you want to marry? Some people think I'm not preaching the word of God. I'm preaching the word of God. You know what I should have done? I shouldn't have said this. I should have said, who here you want to get married by next year? And when they lift their hand, I'll now ask them. Right? Why? One time I was listening to all these. So I was with a young lady and I asked her, why do you want to get married? Yes, you know, it's always good to have someone that you can do life with so that you run your day by. And I said, you are looking for a friend, not a husband. I said, get a best friend. You ask one guy, why do you want to get married? No, you know the way life is, you know, I want to stop eating outside. I'm like, you are looking for a chef, not a wife. And that these are the expectations, and that's why people get married, and even at 2 a.m. he said she should wake up and fry yam. Because you married a kitchen. You married a full restaurant. Okay. So our point number one was that we're born of God. And under that, we said what? Born with rights and privileges. And number two, born with the life and nature of God. Number three, born of the Word of God. Now, if you were here, if you listened while I was teaching on the word works, some statements I'll make will be familiar. So, but it's very important. Now, let's see what the scripture says. You are going to be so prosperous. First Peter chapter 1, I'll start from verse 20. Let me tell you something. For those of you who, no matter what I preach, you want to marry next year, listen to me. If your reason for going to get married is to have somebody around, my advice to you is this. Learn to enjoy your own company. Learn, you know, what causes divorces is unmet expectations. Yeah. The man was getting married thinking if he gets married, he will be happy. The woman is also marrying, thinking that if he marries, or if she marries, she will be happy. So both of them didn't know that they were all coming into something where everybody's expecting to gain. Now, what will happen when you are going to something where everybody is expecting to gain? Now, imagine when two people are thinking of frauding themselves. What will happen? No one will end up being frauded, and everybody will be frustrated. Now, in this case, they are married. They can't go out. To love is to serve. If they were entering with the mentality of, I'm going to serve. You're thinking that you've served your mother all your life. And now that you're going to marry and breathe. You know, if you're a Christian, you are born to understand the life of giving. I said, to go into that kind of union is to have the mentality of, I'm going to serve. So the man is going with the mentality of, the way I'm going to love this girl. Not thinking of what she will do in return. Unconditional love. And the woman to unconditional submission. They like the first one. They didn't like the... That's how it is. He said that when... I'm doing transliteration. He said when it's on your neighbor, it's on a tree. If it is him to do it for me, you know, you see there's selfishness. I'm talking to you. See the selfishness. When it's being done for you, how this man will love this one, say, oh, how this one will submit. You see, enjoy your company. You must know how to be joyful without anybody.
Yes, sir.
I can assure you, it's a guy that clapped. I can assure you with the... You say, he must make me happy. He must make me happy. He's not making me happy. I'm not feeling it again. He must make me happy. Yeah. He must make me happy. He must make me happy. He must make me happy. The more I conduct marriage counseling before people marry, the more I realize people don't know what they want to do. I know couples that stopped. They ended their marriage at the counseling. When they saw how the thing is, Charlie. So I say, Charlie, please, sorry. Sorry, I thought we were going to school, sorry. I'm telling you the truth. I said that, the more, while you are counseling them, you are telling them marriage, this one say, this one say, Charlie, sorry. This one says, I like him, I like him. Let's marry. Then they start the process. I know a couple that said, marriage counseling is not really necessary. So it's not really we'll be fine, we'll be fine. I said, okay. So I was sitting in front and said, so since you have not done marriage counseling, what are you? Said, he loves me and I love him. So we'll just be fine. Okay, I said, sure. One couple told me, said, our grandmother has spoken to us already. But see, I don't tell you things that are not true. If anything I tell you, just know that it's true. They said that their grandmother has already spoken to them. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but it's like I'm talking to somebody. Allow me. They said their grandmother has spoken to them. 2 years' time, the marriage ended. 2 years. Where's grandma? Grandma is thinking about her life. She doesn't know how many years she has left. So our grandmother has already spoken to us. Let me tell you something. When you are going to get married, don't be listening to. Don't let people be creating expectations for you. Those aunties that are forcing you to marry, when you marry like this, after wedding like this, they are gone to their house. I remember a lady that told me that, her auntie said, it's a pastor, it's my auntie, it's my aunties. I said, your aunties. Let me tell you what they want. They want to wear cloth. I'm telling you what they want. They want to wear cloth. Because the lady said, she's not yet found a God-fearing guy. They said, she should just get any guy and be praying for him. Then... we are still born of God, all right? And I said, your aunties, be careful. When you marry like this, you will get married. The next people are asking you, so when is the child? You don't ask me those questions. Don't ask me that. Do you know whether I have money to take care of a child? Give birth. God will supply. I'll see your mouth. I should give birth. God will provide. That's how come they're giving birth to children that they cannot take care of. And then other family members have to now be in trouble in government. Because the child is in now, they have to buy three things, two and three. Now they're saying that the government is not good. The government is not good. There's nothing wrong with you getting married and waiting 2 years. Till you have saved enough money to take care of the child. Then the auntie,
The auntie who has told you, after 3 months, say, when? Let me tell you, some people barely listen to wisdom.
I know who I am.
Some people barely even understand the marriage in the first year. No, forget dating. When you marry, it's a different thing. Your eyes are open. That young man that used to have six packs and come to you looking good and great. After 6 months of feeding him, now he has one pack. Snoring in the bed. You wake up at 2 a.m. and say, oh, I should go back for my money. You married the lady. All the time you were dating, makeup song, makeup. Then you married. Now you're in the house. She comes home. Oh, baby. Then she just removes the wig. Poof. Just removes it. You are in a place of shock. It's like Leah and Rachel. You want to even ask her that, is it you or your sister? Now, you are married. They are forcing you. You are still trying to know the person in that 1 year. People marry after 30 years and still divorce. You are still knowing the person in that 1 year. They said, add another visitor. They'll be forcing you to give birth. And when you give birth now, at night, when the baby is crying, which causes a lot of fights, people don't know. No, think about when you are asleep and someone wakes you up. And these babies have insomnia. 2 a.m. Now, you, the father that said, I want a baby, cute baby, you tell a woman, madam, take care of your child. Madam, take care of your child. Then the woman will say, is it not our child? Is it not our child? Now, for the next 2 weeks, there's a fight. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. On Sunday, I'll go into details about this. Being born again, oh boy. You see, being born again, I love this. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. But of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, go to the next verse. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. So, we were born of the word. Now, look at the emphasis. The emphasis there is being born again. Not of corruptible, but of incorruptible. You see, so by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So you see, the emphasis is the perishability of what gave birth to you. That's the emphasis. The emphasis is that when you had your first birth, when you were born the first time, the fabric with which you were born does not endure forever. He said, for all flesh is as grass. So when I was born into a perishability. And that's why I can be attacked by cancer. That is why I can be attacked by what attacks men. That's why I can be attacked by what attacks women. You see, that's what I was born by. So that becomes my life experience. So he said, first of all, we were born by corruptible seed. He calls the seed with which we were born, that seed there, that word is sperma, which is the same word for sperm. So we were born not of corruptible seed, all right, but of incorruptible. He calls the word of God the seed of God or the sperm of God. So when we are asked, what were we born by? We were born by the incorruptible word of God. So we are not like those that fade. He says, the grass withered, the flower fadeth. You see, have you seen people that say, oh, this one, it was his season. His time is past. Our time doesn't pass. Am I talking to somebody here? Our time doesn't pass. Why? He says, because the grass withered, the flower faded. No, let me give you a very good example. Have you noticed that? I'm talking about very spiritual and good gospel songs never pass. Have you noticed that? But, I mean, there are some songs, you play them now, in 3 months, they are already passed. But very good gospel song, because if it's coming from the word of God, it has that fabric of being born of God's seed. Are you sure you're here? Say, I'm born of the word. Oh boy, we're going to enter. Oh boy. Hebrews chapter 2. Make sure you have your Bible here. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him from whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, he calls him, for it became him from whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. That means Jesus was the son who was in glory. But it became him that sanctified. No, go back to verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, all right? And by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Okay, so there was only one son. Remember, thou art my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So it was only one son, all right? Then he brought us in, so we became the many sons which he brought unto glory. I'll come to that in a bit. He says, to make the captain of their salvation. He's the captain of these new sons, okay? Perfect through suffering. Verse 11, for both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He says, this son, all right, is not ashamed to call us brethren. That means we became his brethren. We became his brothers. Come on. This has nothing to do with, oh, I changed and I became a Christian. No, Jesus calls us brothers. That means we are of the same stock. Am I talking to somebody here? Now, of which stock was Jesus of when Jesus was going to be born? Now, I'm sure you have the basics. Jesus never existed in heaven, right? Jesus never existed in heaven until he was born. He existed in heaven as the Word, not as a man. So some people say Jesus was in heaven and the Holy Ghost and God all came together and said, who will go for us? Then Jesus said, I will go. You know, that's fraud. That's 419. All right. Then God now turned that Jesus, that big Jesus, and turned him little baby. Then put him in the womb of Mary. Then Mary is born. So when Jesus was born, he was looking at them like, guys, you don't know I was in heaven before. No. Boy, just so I don't confuse somebody, let me give you context. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Now, he says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. Okay? That means the meaning of bear record in heaven, it means these are the witnesses of heaven. That means with these three, there can be heaven. So if there was heaven before Jesus was born, this is the record and the witness of heaven. And what's the record and witness of heaven? There are three that bear record in heaven. He said, he didn't say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said the Father, what do you see there in your Bible? The Word and the Holy Ghost. So Jesus did not exist in heaven as the Son. He existed in heaven as the Word. So what happened? Okay, so you get to understand this very well. So what happened? God sent Gabriel to Mary. And when Gabriel got to Mary, Gabriel spoke a word and Mary believed. She said, blessed is she who had believed, for there shall be a performance. So she believed. So that word, when you now go to 1 Peter, you now get to understand it better. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. So that word acted the way a sperm acts. So that word fertilized the egg of Mary. And Mary got pregnant with the legitimate child of God. So the child was fully God and fully man. Because, now, in the case of Abraham and Sarah, the word that came from God acted with the semen of Abraham. Don't be embarrassed. I'm mentioning those kind of things here, right? It's normal. It's biology, right? It acted. So with that miracle, that was a bit different. That means Abraham's sperm was still in action. It was revived. It was brought to life. Then the word worked with it. So that was a child of promise. But in the case of Jesus, there was no human intervention, no sperm. It was God's word that was the seed. So Jesus became him who was born of God's word. He was the living word of God. He was the very thoughts and ideas of God. He was God's word. God, he was the person of God. So what does the scripture now say concerning us? When we got born again, we also assumed the same thing and became those of whom were born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So we were born of the word of God. Now, go back to Hebrews chapter 2. He's not ashamed to call him brethren. I mean, we are of the same stock of Jesus. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee? Oh boy, I'm boiling inside. He said, and again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. I and the children whom God hath given me. Then now, that means we number with God's children. Come on. Come on. We number, not just God's creation. We number with God's children. If God were to be numbering his children, he would number us as bona fide children of God. Not adopted children of God. As real children of God. We number with God's children. Oh boy. Verse 14. This is what I want to show you. Verse 14, he says, for as much then as the children, you see, look at this. This is so powerful. I wish you'd get it. I know you're getting it. He said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Remember when I was teaching you about flesh and blood and how Jesus did not use flesh and blood. He said flesh and bones. You see, because flesh and blood makes you human. Okay, look at this. Oh boy. Boy. Oh, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So what's he saying? He says the children were partakers. Okay. The children were partakers of flesh and blood. Now, remember the word partakers. That means they were partakers of the natural elements. That means the things that happen to human beings happen to them. He said these children who are now children, they were partakers of flesh and blood. So they walk on in life. Anything that affects people with blood affects them. So the children were partakers of flesh and blood. So all things they say, oh, human beings are failing at this. Human beings are failing at that. Then these people are partakers of flesh and blood. That means the children there are partakers of natural things. He said, as much then, these children were partakers of flesh and blood. So then, our high priest saw that we were partakers of flesh and blood. Bible says, he took upon himself, all right? Likewise took part of the same. So he also came as flesh and blood. He also came as flesh and blood. Look at verse 15. He took part of the same. He might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, human beings, all their lifetime, they are trying not to die. So Jesus came to deliver us from that life. So that we are not, look at COVID. The fear of COVID was not even making people think. They will come out on the TV and say, run into your room now, it's coming on the street. People are not asking scientific questions that, how does it? They said, 6 feet apart. Nobody ask any question. If you are more than 50 in a room, it can spread. So nobody should, so only 50. Nobody was asking any question. Later they came out, 2 years later, 3 years later, they said, oh, COVID is like every flu. What? Is that why people were isolated? People were so afraid of death. They were not even taking rational decisions. I said, even up to this year, 2024, I saw somebody with masks. People can even use masks and pass to their neighbor. Can you imagine? Imagine you had it. You have, hey, use it. Protect yourself. It might deliver them, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. People are always in bondage when they fear death. Someone say, I'm not afraid of death. Ah, some people say, hey, pastor. The only reason we are bent on staying alive is that we have work to do. Aside that, who wants to be here? Because you've not seen the other side. If you understood the other side, it's when your family member has not given his or her life to Christ that you will cry. 2 Peter. Remember this word, partakers of flesh and blood. Remember that? 2 Peter chapter 1. I start from verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh boy. Grace and peace. Oh boy. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Next verse. Listen now. Remember the first, what we read first. Those who were partakers of flesh and blood. All right, look at that. It says, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that had called us unto glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now in Hebrews chapter 2, he says, those who were partakers of flesh and blood. So he became partaker of flesh and blood so that through his death and his resurrection, we will now be partakers of the divine nature.
Oh, you did not believe that.
We are partakers of the divine nature. That is why we can pray and we get answers. Because when we pray, we are participating in divine activity. When Peter was not a partaker of divine nature, Jesus Christ came to give him the verdict. Said, Peter, the devil has asked for you that he will sift you as wheat. When did he ask that Peter was not around? Because he was not a partaker of divine nature. So Jesus was a partaker. Can you understand that? Jesus was a partaker. So when the devil was asking, Jesus was praying. And let me tell you, that's one of the reasons why we speak in tongues. Anytime we speak in tongues, we engage in heavenly conversation. If there's anything that is being said for or against you, anytime you're speaking in tongues, your voice enters the Godhead. So they are saying, no, this lady, she has done something bad. Your voice enters and God, please don't mind the devil. Am I talking to somebody here? That's why it's important to speak in tongues. We become partakers of the divine nature. That's why you can give a death sentence to somebody who will come and say he will not die. Am I talking to somebody here? One lady told me, he said, Pastor, a prophet told me that I'm going to die by this particular date. And I was laughing. You know why? The prophet doesn't have to be false, but we can bring a verdict. The prophet doesn't have to be false. Maybe what he said is correct. But I say, I love what Jesus Christ said. He said, the Old Testament said, but verily I say unto you. Am I talking to somebody here? Sit down for a moment. I thank God that prophet saw what he saw. But I cancel it. It's as simple as that. So what do? If they say you die on the 20th, I tell you, come and see me on the 22nd. And come and see me alive. Are you hearing me? We are partakers of the divine nature. Anytime divine things are going on, we can participate in them. Am I talking to somebody here? So when we have things that are not enough, we don't say, oh, my money is not enough. We are partakers of the divine nature. He became a partaker of flesh and blood so that we'll become partakers of the divine nature. Can you imagine? The scripture says that we are partakers of the divine nature. It means our nature is not flesh and blood. Our nature is the divine nature. Am I talking to somebody here? You know, the man of God, Pastor Chris, said something about this, and that was the first time I was ever hearing it. Oh boy. That word, partakers of divine nature, is the Greek word theos physios. Theos physios. The word theos means God. The physios means pantheon. And for you to understand that, you have to understand the Greek mythology. They had the Greek pantheon. Zeus, right? Aphrodite, right? They had their pantheon. Those are gods. And you check the history of those gods, you see that it was human born. Huh? Those gods are human born, but have a godly infiltration. You can see, they said the God slept with the woman and she gave birth to the baby. All right, do you understand that? So those are called the Greek pantheon. They are an associate of gods. So the Bible says that, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, but like this, ye might become partakers of the theos physios. So that means you also entered the godly pantheon. Am I talking to somebody here? So you are not just human. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. That's why you don't look at yourself. Oh my God. You don't look at yourself and say, something is happening to me. I don't know what's happening to me. You remember that you are theos physios, that you are partaker of the divine nature. You are part of the heavenly pantheon. That means when the gods should gather together. No wonder he said in Psalm 82, he said, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. We are part of the heavenly pantheon. Let me tell you, am I talking to somebody here? All your life, you have been trained to be a human being. Start training to be divine. Am I talking to somebody here? That's what Jesus did. When Philip said, the bread is not enough, Jesus was just laughing. When Andrew said, oh, the money is not enough, Jesus Christ was just laughing. He said, bring me the bread. Because he's going to be a partaker of the divine nature. Human beings will cry when they don't have. We don't cry when we don't have. When we don't have, we pick it up and we begin to bless it. Why? Because we are partakers of the divine nature. Am I talking to somebody here today? I'm born of the word of God. I'm born of the word of God. Oh, I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Oh, what can you do? What can you do? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Listen to me. If you're a child of God, there's nothing like, I cannot do this subject. There's nothing like that. Some people went to school and they say, that subject is not my interest. That's not children of God. Give us anything, we'll be able to do it. It might not be our interest. You just need us to pass. I can do all things. I can do all subjects. I can do all things. I can do all businesses. Put me anywhere, I will shine. Put me anywhere, I will dominate. Oh, you are not shouting. Satakabaya. When I start, it might not look like I can do it. When I start, it will look like I cannot do it. All I need to do is to keep talking to the Holy Ghost. You say, Holy Ghost, you are teaching me. Holy Ghost, you are teaching me. Yataka sataya. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, you are teaching me. Matolaba sataya. Holy Ghost, you are teaching me. Holy Ghost, you are training me. Maybe in your office, they thought they were taking you to the difficult part of the office because they want to punish you. They don't know you thrive anywhere because you're a partaker of the divine nature. Hey, take me anywhere, I will shine. Oh, that's why I like LP's song. He said, if you like, put me in the desert. I will grow. I will grow. Am I talking to somebody here?
You are not speaking into your future. Say what you can do. Say who you are. You are partaker of the divine nature. Oh, do you remember Daniel? Do you remember Daniel? Oh, do you remember Daniel? They came to tell him, Daniel, you have to eat our meat, otherwise you cannot grow. Daniel looked at her. He said, I'm not going to take it, but come and look at us later. The Bible says, when they came back, he was 10 times looking better. He was 10 times looking better. Listen, keep walking with God. Keep praying. Am I talking to somebody here? Keep praying. Keep walking with God. They will come back and come and look at you. You will be 10 times better. Your punishment is your promotion. They thought they were going to punish you. They didn't know it was your promotion. Oh, the Bible says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They thought they were nailing him to the cross. But wherefore God had given him a name that is upon every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess. Oh! So they thought they were punishing you. They thought they were punishing you. So they said, receive the paper. They don't know that all gates are open for you. All doors are open for you. You cannot go against the child of God because we are partakers of the divine nature. Oh, am I talking to somebody here? What if you made a mistake? Even GPS knows how to reroute. Ah! You say, oh, Pastor, I think I've missed my road in life. All you need to do is to start partaking in the divine nature. Sabradaba, Ratakaba, Yaselebe, Ratakabaye. Oh! Listen, many years ago, there were many people that rose up against me. And let me tell you, everything they said I did, I did. Everything they said I did wrong, I did it wrong. And they spoke against me. They rose up against me. Then I went somewhere. So kete kete. I said, God, I did it all. But your son is here today. I will hold your trust at God. Because I'm a partaker of the divine nature. We can change the verdict. Years later, It is even an abomination for you to speak against me. You know what they ended up saying years later? He's graced. God is with him. God is with him. Sone, Maka, Kakaba. Oh, when I went to that place like this, I began to speak in tongues. Let me tell you, anything I'll speak in tongues. You are depressed because you don't speak in tongues enough. Ladies, let me speak to you. I know it is general knowledge that ladies are afraid of cockroaches and rats and mice. If you don't conquer it, you can't cast out some demons. Because demons like to move like that. They will put fear in you. And you see the rats. The next time you see cockroach, don't say, hey. No, the next time you see cockroach, say, hey, guy, hey. Hey. When you are in your room, and you see a dark figure. Oh, many years ago, I was in the same room with my parents. Then my twin siblings, Jesse and Jessica. Jessica started crying. She had actually seen a demon in the room. And she started pointing. She was very little. This is about my first or second year of being a Christian. Daddy! And my daddy was holding like this. And at that time,
I've started learning the message of faith. Now, mind you, at that time I was being persecuted, all right? I was being persecuted. Of course, my dad prays. So my dad stood up and he began to bind and to cast. And I woke up and I asked the girl, where is he now? Where is he now? He said, he's here. I said, you devil of darkness. Another time, my junior brother Jesse, who used to play football around, little boy. So fast, they grow so fast. Well, very little. This is like 14 years ago. 13 or 14. Jesse is at home, running all around. One day, he's paralyzed. He's just paralyzed. Mommy, I cannot walk. Mommy, I cannot. My mom is panicking. I'm telling you three stories. This is the second one. Satakabaya. And I was dressing to go to church. There are some of you, when you are going to church, something happens, you have dropped your clothes. You cannot also solve it. You can't even solve it. You have dropped your clothes. What will you do? I kept dressing. I said, Mommy, Etomeseya. By the time I will be back, this boy will be walking. Devil, shut up! And I walked to church. No car, we walk. I walked to church that day. We're in church. I forgot about it. I came back home. Jesse ran to me and hugged me. Mommy, by the time I come back, you'll be walking. Devil, shut up! I'm a Christian for like maybe 1 year or 2 years. Now I asked my mom, at what time did he start walking? While he was there, that he cannot walk. All of a sudden, my mom said he began to vibrate, and he fell off the chair. He started walking. Partakers of the divine nature. Don't be the kind of person, something like that happens. Pastor, I don't know, but I'm very emotional. Those are the kind of people the devil likes to mess up. After the crying, face it. When Jesus Christ went, oh, I love Jesus Christ. When he went to the tomb of Lazarus, oh, he wept first. Oh, Lazy. He stood up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Then he faced Lazarus' tomb. Bible says he cried with a loud voice. Listen, sometimes you must learn how to shout. Bible, Jesus Christ didn't say, Lazy. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the Bible says, and the stone began to roll. I said, that's your gentle Jesus making mild. It's not in the Bible. Which gentle guy will come and stand up and say, Lazarus, come forth. Third story. One day I'm in the room. This is also about my second year of being a Christian. Second or third. I'm in the room. All of a sudden, my mom is in the other room. Something starts strangling her. She couldn't breathe. She immediately jumped out of her bed. Jumped right from her room into my room. I'm telling you, the serious story. Oh, you're laughing. Serious story. I mean, you could see she has mastered all her strength to appear in my room. When I stood up,
You know, if you are not trained in the word of God, you say, hey, mommy, what is it? Hey, mommy, what is it? Somebody come. Somebody come. Somebody come. She could not breathe. She just help me. I said, calm down, calm down, calm down. That's how she put her head on my chair. I said, yeah, calm down. Calm down. I'm here. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. I'm here. Hey! You are there. Everything will be fine. You are there. Everything will be fine. You are a partaker of the divine nature. Am I talking to somebody here? Oh, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Declare a word. Pray.